Back on WPTF. We're moving pretty quickly here this morning, I think. Made it upstairs at any rate, which is always a good thing. Mike Rayleigh here for the Weekend Gardener. And I mean, it's not like it's our first show or anything. We've been done a couple of these here and there. Brother Rufus is over there. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well.
Well, we got to get you on mic here.
Are we on now?
We've got
him. Okay, good.
Had to lean in a little bit, I guess. Yeah. And Miss Phil, the pastry lady, is here this morning.
Good morning.
Picking at her scone.
Yes.
We were discussing that. I shouldn't generalize, but I noticed that women tend to pick at, if they have a dessert, they just kind of pick at it, whereas men gobble like a hog.
Well,
Is that true,
that's
counselor?
Very true, and I'm being so tempted to my left over here. She brought some goodies, and I'm going to pick at one here in a moment a little bit. I've got to do it.
Maybe. I think we'll take a vote on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Well, I couldn't fill my mouth up with scone, and then we come on the air. That wouldn't I wouldn't be able to talk. So you have to.
Oh, that's well. I just
pick at a little.
I just don't eat. Those in our profession normally, if they are normal announcers, do not eat while they're on the air.
Right.
We don't care to do that because we sound bad enough. But.
Now you are welcome. The master voice.
No, I just kind of carry on with what I got. And boy, I tell you, I got the headache this morning. I've had one all week just
Sinus.
About. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
The weather changing.
Yeah, got the headache, as my Uncle Russell used to say. And got Miss Andrea. Oh my gosh, let's go to the mountains. Andrea Lane is with us.
Hello. Hello.
How are you, Miss Andrea? Are you picking at your food this morning?
Yes.
Oh, see?
I'll tell you, women do that for the reasons that Phil mentioned, but also because, everyone knows it's less calories.
No, Rufus and I gobble. Gobble, 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 gobble.
Good morning.
We need to... we've had a little laugh. I need to mention with heavy heart a very sad occurrence yesterday. J.C. Knowles passed away. And J.C. Knowles was 97, so he had a long, unbelievable life and filled everyone's spirit with joy. But he is gone. You know, it is so ironic that J.C. passed away on Halloween because he told the best ghost stories. Now, I don't think he ever told one on this show. He may have if it fell on Halloween. I don't remember. But he used to tell them. I've heard him tell them. I mean, he did it on Open Line with Bart Rittner when he was a guest because he'd delve into history. He was mainly there for antiques. But he told some really good North Carolina ghost stories. And, I mean, there's a book about it. He should have written a book about it. But there are several books about ghost stories. But we all have lots and lots of stories. And just about everybody knew J.C., I think. He was, I always called him the North Carolina's historian, and he was in a way, not officially, but he certainly was the official ambassador to APEX. And we're gonna play a couple of things here this morning. Maybe after the 9 o'clock news, Joel will play the ambassador segment where he was interviewed about the town of APEX, which he loved dearly, and they loved him. He worked with the Chamber of Commerce over there for so many years. But we will get to hear JC tell a joke one more time.
Oh, yeah.
With JC in the 10 o'clock hour.
Trade stories about the Capitol. When I was Secretary of State, I had an office in the Capitol, and I have ghost stories, and that's what JC. Let's hear yours. Well, sometimes they coincided, sometimes they didn't. But we both concluded that, yes, that Capitol, which Carleton's ancestors helped build from Scotland, has ghosts in it. I was there, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And
you had an office in there.
Oh, yes, for 8 years. I heard lots of things.
Some lawmaker from centuries ago, possibly.
Well, one night I was sitting in my office, and all of a sudden, this chamber music started playing. I thought, okay, who's trying to pull a trick on me tonight? And I walked out of my office into the old house chamber. Well, it stopped playing. I looked around to see whether somebody was trying to hide and jump out on me. I got back in my office and sat down. It commenced again. I said, okay, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
And there was no party going on.
No party going on.
There was no alcohol involved.
No alcohol. This was at 11 o'clock at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked JC about that. And he talked about a ghost up in the attic area.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I can confirm that. The banging around up there. And
yeah, because you were on the second floor.
Yeah,
right,
overlooking the Hillsborough Street.
Right, that's good view. Oh well, JC will always be with us. And gosh, he was part of this show. He was part of the station. He had a show on this station back in the 80s, Antiques and History. It was on Sunday nights. And that was great. And he was by far Bart Rittner's, I guess he wasn't the most famous guest that Bart had, but he was by far the most popular that Bart ever had. And Bart rarely had guests, but when he did, they were always, I mean, they were Joe Graydon and J.C. Knowles, for instance. But he had politicians on, too. Rufus, I'm sure you were on at some point.
Many times.
Yeah. But JC was extremely popular because JC meant money to a lot of people because he was an antique expert and you could call the show and JC would tell you what you had and how it was kind of like, what's the show on PBS, Antique Roadshow? JC was the Antique Roadshow.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
He was the pioneer.
Yeah, he was.
And Andre, tell me about that frost up there.
Yeah, yeah. Rufus is longing for the mountains, Andrea.
Oh, my God. It's been so cold up here the last week, Rufus. I'm looking forward. I just heard on the news as I was listening in that it's supposed to be 64 where you are and that low of 38. I am striving for that this coming week.
Oh, yeah?
It's been 43 during the day here. 43.
Wow. Well, I told Rufus coming down
all week.
Capitol Boulevard, I said, Rufus, let's just call Mike, tell him that we're going to talk with him by phone today and take off up to the mountains and just
You've already been to the mountains this week.
Oh, I could go to the mountains every day.
yeah, but it's been nice. I mean, you know, the fall colors and all that. And I think the very late fall colors, which it started, you know, the peak seemed to be a little early this year. But then later in October, you know, there's not as many. And I like the dark oranges.
Yes.
Right.
And you could see them really well, you know, against the, you know, some of the trees are bare already.
So. Have you had a hard freeze yet?
We have had a hard freeze. Yeah,
we haven't had that yet, but we've had a couple of days of frost. I thought a couple of mornings, haven't we, Phil?
I haven't had any out at the nursery yet.
You haven't had any? Mm-hmm. Well, they've been predicting it. What do you say, Great One?
I did not detect any this morning.
Mm-mm. Okay,
as Phil picked me up at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then light was coming
on. Was the limousine service not there on time or something? So you had to call Phil?
That wonderful car she's got is like a limousine.
Yeah, of course it is.
That's not fancy.
No, it is. So, Andrea, how are things progressing with Helene cleanup there in your area?
Mm-hmm. They're still ongoing. You're making slow progress, which is, I think – to be expected and very positive. I say that in a positive way.
Yeah. So they're being meticulous and trying to do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're learning, everyone's learned in the last year about disaster recovery, but especially our local leaders. And as they learn more, they, add experts to the fold, from outside the area who've done this before. And even FEMA, I feel as though the disaster recovery team, both local and places like Samaritan's Purse, they really educate, others about
They were right in Jamaica. That was the first plane that came in at the airport in Kingston was a Samaritan's Purse plane.
Yeah, they're an outstanding organization.
Yeah.
So, Andrea, I was pleasantly surprised to see that they have put some shops on the lower street in Spruce Pine.
Oh, my God.
Because
you really do know my neighborhood, don't you?
Yeah, because someone had told me at Little Switzerland that they probably would not even try to put those back in. And I was really pleasantly surprised to see that. Now, are they going to put the Ingles store back in?
That's a grocery store chain.
On the Ingles front. Ingles, the last I heard, and this is not official in any capacity, but, the way you get news in the mountains is by talking to other people.
Right,
right.
There isn't a WPTF news station.
Right.
I wish. But, there's ones in Asheville, but they don't really cover here. So Ingles has a store in Burnsville and one in Newland.
Okay.
And the Spruce Pine was in the middle.
Right.
And they're doing so well at those stores that they are, there's two, they're probably not going to rebuild the Spruce Pine store.
Wow.
But it's not just, disinterest. There's a creek running under the store.
Right.
And it's not the first time that the store has flooded.
Right.
So it's the, in rebuilding, everybody is, considered, if this is in a floodplain or this creek is running under it,
right.
Does it make sense to rebuild in this location?
Right.
And so for a while, they were looking for another location, but Mitchell County is a dry county, and there's only certain spots. Spruce Pine is one of them, and Little Switzerland is another.
Are there any bootleggers there?
Three miles of the parkway where you can sell alcohol.
Right.
So so they don't want to come into the northern part of the county because then they couldn't sell wine and beer.
Yeah. Well, I understand that.
So it's a conundrum for people like me now who have to travel.
All right, Miss Andrea, we're going to talk a little gardening and talk about J.C. Knowles now, the man for whom they named Timberlake, North Carolina, after it's coming up next, Frank Timberlake. I think that's Frank.
Frank
from Everything. Okay. I think Frank will join us. Coming up here on WPTF, you're listening to The Weekend Gardener. It's 8:21. We're back on WPTF, The Weekend Gardener, 8:25. Mike Riley here, along with Phil Campbell and Rufus Edmonston. And Frank from Zebulon joins us. Andrea Lane is here. Well, she's not here. She's in the near Burnsville, North Carolina, way up in the beautiful mountains of North Carolina. And we're former Durham County Extension Master Gardener, now Master Gardener up there in Mitchell County. But Frank is from Zebulon. Not actually from Zebulon. I guess you live there. Frank, this is Frank Timberlake, right?
It is, all day long.
All day long, everywhere you look.
Everywhere you look, you know. So, but they did not name Timberlake, North Carolina, for me.
Oh, okay. I was wrong. I thought.
Go ahead and take credit, Frank.
You need to understand that I am the Duke of Sassus Fork. Sassus Fork is over in Granville County.
Oh.
And I am the Duke of, let's see, Sassus Fork, the Earl of Hibernia, and the fourth Duke of Carr. So, you know, I grew up in Granville County, but Linda and I actually put on the reunion for the Timberlake family, our family, every other year in Timberlake. The first year, Rufus, we screwed that up. I've always been impressed with your elaborate invitations that you sent out for this and that. So 17 years ago, when we took over the Timberlake family reunion, we put on the invitation, Linda and Frank Timberlake cordially invite you to the, whatever it was, 20th biennial Timberlake family reunion at the Homestead Steakhouse and Seafood Restaurant on the Frank Timberlake home place, 205 Frank Timberlake Road in Timberlake, North Carolina. And my cousins, several of them said, you know, even for us, that's a little too much Timberlake.
Well, that was the formal way to do it, Frank. I used to do it.
Yeah, your invitations are about as famous as you are, you know. So, but anyway, y'all talking about old JC, you know, Mike, I was on the air part-time back in 80, 81, you know, that period there. But it was at the Raleigh Civic Center, and it was some sort of event going on that these characters were not in, but as they were gathered in the middle of the floor, they put on their own floor show. And I'm going to name them now. It was J.C., Paul Montgomery, and Ron Campbell.
Ron Campbell, who was an attorney, but he also was played a clown.
He played a clown, and the three of them together was I actually felt dwarfed.
I've very
got
talented
a good
people.
Sense of humor. I tell stories and everything, but I was among the greats.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I think about that time often, because whatever was going on in the Civic Center and everything, people gathered around just to watch that gathering.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought that I was in it, but what I was in awe.
I'd like to have seen that. Paul Montgomery, of course, with Channel 5 and Uncle Paul, and he had his show, and everybody watched Uncle Paul just like they watched Captain Kangaroo, and it was an extraordinary man, a jazz pianist, and of course Ron was a many-faceted man.
Oh yeah, that was all. But JC and he was a very talented, in my opinion, artist.
We got about 45 seconds.
Write up, and I love that red barn. That was one of the last things he did, was the red country barn, you know. And since it's a gardening show, there were some things out there blooming, you know.
Yeah, he was multi-talented and a really extraordinary man. And we aren't saying that, but we say that about people who have passed away. But this, it's true. He really was. He touched a lot of lives.
Think about this. Just a quick shout out. We lost another Durham Life Curtis Media guy this week, Bob Cordell. He was just one of the greats.
Oh, from Channel 5.
No, he worked at QDR.
Oh, Rob Cordell, yeah, worked at TV. Oh, yeah, God bless him, man. He was a wonderful guy. Frank, we got to say goodbye.
Goodbye. Right.
Yep, happy for it.
We're back on WPTF for the Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here. Andrea Lane is in Mitchell County, formerly in Durham, and is a master gardener, and in Mitchell County is a master gardener. How's that program going right now? Have y'all been able to recover?
Yes. We did our hours this year.
Good.
And we're now looking. We're recruiting applicants to have another training class next year.
Well, you know, you can listen to WPTF up there at WPTF.com because I have listened in Norway and, I mean, all over Europe.
Yeah.
At mm-hmm. WPTF.com, and I've called into the Weekend Gardener. People ask me, why aren't you just relax and not work? I said, well, this is not work 99.9% of the time, and calling in to talk to some of my best friends in the world is good for me and certainly not work. So it's amazing mm-hmm. technology, but even in the
it
holler, you can hear WPTF if you want to.
Yeah.
So you can.
That's true.
Yeah. So I'm glad y'all are recruiting, and as are all the Master Gardener programs. Some have a lot more. Some have waiting lists. I guess Durham did. I don't know if they still do. Wake County mm-hmm. always has.
Has always, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have a wait list. So if you really, really, really want to be a Master Gardener, move to Mitchell County.
That's it. I mean, I listen to the extension agents, and the things that these Master Gardeners are doing, this is a mm-hmm. life's work. This is a second career.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
People are doing, and very talented people, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, make sure that you go into it knowing what you're getting into and understanding that it's work, too. And not just a class, several classes that you're going to.
Right.
I mean, I understand you're going to take
right.
a lot of weeks of classes, and that you've got to give back, and have a serious mind about this.
It's a volunteer. It's a service
right.
program
and
with an awesome training component.
Yeah, it's volunteer, but it's the greatest kind of volunteer mm-hmm. work, I think.
If you're a gardener.
Yeah, if you're a gardener, and you don't have to be the best gardener in the world, because
you don't have to be a gardener at all.
Yeah,
also.
You can learn.
You have to have an interest in gardening
and
in education, because it's not just about the gardening, it's the education.
Well, now, wait a minute, Mike and I are afraid.
Teaching people gardening.
Test, Andrea.
Yeah, no,
we're afraid to have to take a test.
So I was talking to somebody the other night. I don't know who in the world it was. They're saying, do they really have an open book test for that Master Gardener thing? I don't know if everybody does. But he said, I object to that. Who in the world was that?
It changes. It changes for every county. The agents have a lot of latitude on how they.
Well, Dick Herbert,
whether they
who
do
was
a test or not.
Dick Herbert, who was a an extraordinary, known all over the nation. He was sports director at the News and Observer. Once said that the mark of an intelligent person is not what he knows, but if he knows where to find the information. And
right.
that's part of it.
And
that's
perhaps
a big part
if you
of
know
it.
What you don't know.
Yeah.
So you don't just give an answer to have an answer.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right. But I mean, there's a lot of hands-on, and I think you some people learn more doing it than they do reading it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a small story about open book test.
Oh,
one time
is this in Carolina? Or?
Yeah, one time at law school, we had an open book test, which I didn't like. We had this fellow. I'll say his first name was George. And lo and behold, he brought a grocery cart full of books in there. He never graduated. He couldn't see the tree for the forest. He had a grocery cart in his open book test.
He was overwhelmed.
He was overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you've got to retain something.
Yeah. Well, in Mitchell County, we give quizzes. We didn't give a big test at the end, but we give quizzes all along.
So oh no, you don't get pop quizzes,
helpful.
Do you?
Oh Lord,
pop goes the
no.
weasel for me.
Yeah.
Nope.
See,
the pop this. Quiz comes when you're actually volunteering and you get asked a question and you're like, do I know the answer to that question? You get pop quizzes every day or every week on the
weekend. Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. And often I don't give the right answer, but I give a quick answer. I don't dally, but it's quite often wrong.
Well, I got one for you, Andre. Pop quiz. Have you dug up your dahlias yet?
I don't have dahlias.
Okay. Now, that's one thing in the mountains that grows absolutely beautiful. My mother, the church lady, she would have dahlias 6 feet tall. We had to stake them.
I have two friends, master gardener friends here, who do dahlias. And, yes, they do dig them up, put them in a cart with some, shavings, wood shavings.
In a basement.
Put them in a crawl space for the winter. But there's also a local, cut flower farmer who grows the most magnificent dahlias, Snow Creek Gardens. So that's pretty special. So, why grow them if I could get them at the farmer's market?
I was, let me find it again here. I gave Rufus, I was over at the Botanical Gardens, speaking of plants, and I brought home Ampelaster, Ampelaster, Carolinianus, climbing aster.
Okay.
And it is a native, you can tell by the name, and it blooms virtually all fall.
Yeah.
And it's a very heavy bloomer around Thanksgiving. And they're pink flowers. They're small flowers, but it's really an interesting plant.
I've got a fence that's going to go right on this afternoon.
Yeah, I think it. Sun to part shade, climbing a Carolina cloud. Stephen Keith at the Botanical Gardens is listening. Thank you, Stephen. Stephen is. I was just getting ready to mention that Stephen took us around, and we had a little special tour, Sweet Melissa and me. But it's a beautiful plant, and Rufus is now the proud owner, and that's going to look fantastic. Gets 6 feet, so it doesn't go crazy.
No.
It's not invasive, but it's tiny little pink flowers. I love it. One of the latest blooming asters in North Carolina, Stephen says. Stephen, thank you. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. We'll talk to Dave straight ahead. Back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener.
I thought I was going to step in Mike.
I was around there. I was trying to find a remote control. That's what we have to use on Rufus is remote controls.
I stole that thing.
Well, you must have. I can't even find the dadgum thing. You didn't take it, did you, Andrea?
Yeah.
She said, what? Let's go to Dave. Dave in Raleigh.
Good morning.
How are you, Dave? How can we help you today?
I was calling to give you an agricultural Halloween story from last night. But on the JC front, I'm a little distraught today.
Yeah.
My first in-person interaction with JC was actually at the Chitlin Club dinner last year. And I sat at dinner with him for an hour and a half or so. And you can imagine the conversation with JC for that long. And, he took my email address, and I was on his North Carolina Minute Updates, email updates with all the different obscure history of North Carolina.
Yeah.
And I had actually gotten so much out of that, you know, not being a native of North Carolina. One of his stories about, I think it might have been Statesville or something. Somebody brought up Statesville, and I was able to spout off stuff like Cliff Clavin about things that I had learned from JC's North Carolina Minutes. It was actually kind of funny. And I sent JC a note about that about, I don't know, a few weeks ago. And I had noticed that his North Carolina Minutes had stopped coming regularly or at all. And he said, oh, you know, I'm not doing great. Just pray for me. And I made him promise that he would save me a seat at dinner at the Chitlin Club this year. So I think I'll have to save a seat for him is what it sounds like.
Yeah, designate a seat.
We're going to have to choose another director of the CIA. And, of course, that's going to
be thinking about that.
Extremely difficult.
I don't know. Yeah, he's irreplaceable.
Yeah. And by the way, your wife still with you after her interview last week?
Yes, she is. She appreciated your counseling. And I made her delete the phone number you had given her for divorce attorneys from a month or so before.
What was this encounter?
Well, we were interviewing Dave, and he put his wife on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm blacking
but
out.
But no, I want to thank you guys.
She wanted him to cut something down, and we
okay.
We had to talk to her about cutting that down.
That's right. Okay.
Yes. So the way that turned out is I cut the tops off of the ligustrums, and we called it a day. So thank you for helping with that.
What were you saying, Andrea?
I said you had an intervention.
That's we have a lot of those.
Or you gave an intervention.
Yeah.
You know, I want to thank you guys for having given me the opportunity to meet and know and interact with JC for the relatively short period of time. But thank
well,
you.
Well, it's too bad you didn't encounter him before. You know, JC taught at the McKimmon Center, taught history through NC State for many years, and gosh, he was in the Merchant Marines, but he was a cook. Chef, master chef at Fort Bragg, too. So he knew how to cook and to cook for hundreds of people, hundreds, thousands, I don't know. But he could do anything he wanted to do, I think. Anything he set his mind to do, anything he had an interest in. So he was never complacent.
No. So anyway, I was calling on Halloween stuff. I had read an article probably about a week ago saying that it was becoming a thing to, instead of handing out candy at Halloween to kids, to hand out potatoes. So I'm like, I can't believe a kid would take
potato.
Yeah, I know.
I've been seeing that in the news lately. What the heck? That's a lot of starch.
I didn't get it.
I didn't get it either.
I had a big a big orange bucket of full size candy bars, and another one of large russet potatoes, and I let them make the choice. And the second group of kids came up was the first one who grabbed the potato, held it up, and ran back to his parents. Look, I got a potato. I'm like, what the hell is this? So it was crazy. It was crazy. And then some kids would actually start taking the chocolate bars. They look, they see the potatoes. I'm like, why would I take a potato? And
I don't know. It's like my friend Mike Wheelis used to say, it's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. Well, I had 11 kids take potatoes instead of chocolate bars.
Well,
now, one of those...
I'd say baked with all the trimmings.
Yeah, a little sour cream.
Yeah.
Maybe some chives.
We should do that in the mouth.
One of those kids was using it as...
Yeah, really.
One of those kids was going to be using it as ammunition for a potato gun that he has at home.
Okay, well, that's a little more practical. That's something I would probably think of, but if they aren't French fries and the way I like them, then, I'm not much of a baked potato person. I like cream potatoes, but I got to have I got to have the right thing cooked with it, and I got to have some gravy.
You like potatoes?
I like fried
rotten?
fried chicken, and yeah. I like country style steak. That's what we call it in Nash County.
When they were saying potatoes are rotten, or what do you call
with
it?
Cheese on them.
Rotten. I used to say that potatoes are rotten.
Yeah.
I said, who wants your potatoes are rotten?
I don't know. I don't know where this started. I don't understand it. I don't have a real IQ, apparently. So
well,
I just
Phil,
do
have
not
you ever
understand.
Heard of such a thing as
didn't you,
giving
did
out
you
potatoes
that stuff in
Halloween?
No.
Yeah, for people, for kids, I guess, who shouldn't have candy or peanuts and you know have allergies and things. I'm you know. I'm allergic to raw potatoes, I'll tell you that.
I don't know. I mean, maybe if somebody was hungry.
Yeah,
they
I suppose.
Might want to get a potato.
I guess so, but.
Take it to the
normally
mom.
That's not going to happen, but.
You know
I,
how
I,
kids,
I would like. I would rather give them a lot more things than a starchy potato.
But you know how kids like fries? You like fries.
Yeah, but I don't think that was the whole point of
yeah,
it. And I think, Dave,
thought.
I am really sorry that you didn't come up with a story behind the story for this thing.
Yeah. So the paper said that it started out 20 years ago by some guy as a joke in Pennsylvania, and it's kind of picked up traction since then, over 20 years, and this is the first time
I've
heard
it. Sounds more like a joke to me, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's
not, but it's a joke, but it's not funny.
Well, it's pretty fun that kid ran back. Hey, I got a potato.
The guy needs a new writer.
For his jokes. And like Dave's doing, you give the kids a choice, so you know
yeah.
That's nice.
Now
no,
it's
I mean,
nice
about potatoes.
Well, did it have to be a russet potato, Dave?
Yes.
Russet. Okay. Well, I like russet
yeah.
potatoes. I would prefer that it be something, that, or a potato that we grow around here. I don't know how many people grow potatoes in the family garden.
They grow them a lot in the mountains.
Yeah, I bet so.
Well, someone had suggested that I hand out sweet potatoes, too, and I'm like, oh, that's getting too expensive.
Well, that we are the king yeah. of sweet potatoes in the world.
North Carolina.
Yeah, at least in the world. Yeah. Well, I'll say the world, but the commissioner would want me to say that, I think.
Well, Tom Monaco grew a great crop of potatoes this year. I mean, he shared them. He had some
former horticulture department
right.
head
right.
at North Carolina State University.
He and his sons, oh boy, they had tons of potatoes.
Well,
I love Tom Monaco. He is one
in the
fine man.
Always grew potatoes. Old. Always.
Yes. There's fields that are, you know, we have some neighbors on our road who they.
All right, Dave.
The
since
only
you've been,
thing they grow are potatoes.
You spent your whole half your time talking about potatoes. Your assignment in the next year is to grow some potatoes, along with
all
your
right.
wife. I want
oh,
your wife involved
clear.
With this because
okay.
I know how particular she is. She may have a certain type she wants to grow, but I think you should grow some potatoes and report back to us.
Well, here's my prediction: we'll plant the potatoes. And we'll get about, I don't know, 3-4 months into it. And then she'll say, I want them over here instead. And I'll have to dig them all up.
You better put her back on again now, Dave. We inter-
no, no.
We can intervene again.
She's a very nice person, and I love her dearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if it got to the all point right. where Rufus was recommending divorce lawyers, because I know he's not in that business normally, then
no.
I mean,
no, we were at Atlantic Pool and Spa, or the, you know, over on.
Oh,
Glenwood
that's where
that
this
day.
Happened. Okay,
that's where it started. Yeah,
I remember talking with you about that. I couldn't remember where it was, but
yeah, that's
know,
where
I mean,
it was.
We obviously need more counseling here of this. You know, something's not adding up, but your assignment is to grow some potatoes.
Phil, what's the best time of year to plant potatoes? As long as I've got you here,
yeah, in this area,
the best time is probably sometime around March.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I will start my assignment in March then. But
when,
okay.
when do you start
plan
growing them
an area
in,
to put them?
When do you start
yeah.
growing them in the mountains, Andrea?
Late
May.
It might still be frozen.
Late May.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Dave, you got it. You've heard about potato hills. You make a hill. You don't dig them way down deep.
Okay.
You pile dirt on top of them, make a hill.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
You can, all right, I'm going to have to research this, but I got a few months to do that.
I'm sure you're good at research or research. Now,
there are things on a potato called eyes. You cut the potato into pieces, each with an eye in it.
Yep.
That I
the
know.
Eyes have it.
Yes, they do.
I recognize the gentleman for 3 minutes from Watauga County.
You guys are killing me.
All right, Dave, thank you.
Hey, thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you very much.
You too.
See
you. Thanks.
So, Andre, have you ever grown any potatoes?
We did. Our first year here, a friend had some extras, you know. And, you know, so we plopped them in our raised beds, and it was kind of fun the next, you know, down the line and the summer pulling up the potatoes. It's a different sort of thing.
Joel, did you say 1 minute? 3 minutes. Okay. We got three minutes here.
It's a great thing for kids to grow, too, potatoes, because it's so much fun to dig them up and see. You plant one little thing and you get so many more in one plant.
Right.
You get all those knobby roots. So it's a great, I know with a lot of the Master Gardener, 4-H gardening programs, mm-hmm. Junior Master Gardener programs, potatoes figure prominently.
Let's see. Yeah. I've just got a thing on my email from Marcy, and she says potatoes for trick or treat began 20 years ago, according to Google. Okay. For absolutely no reason.
Google can't be wrong.
For absolutely right. No reason. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, Wheelis was right. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
There you go.
All right. Well, I don't know. We've talked about. Have you
I
ever
planted a bunch of bulbs this year? I planted 100 bulbs this fall.
Good gracious! How long did it take you?
Potatoes.
How long did it take you to put those in the ground?
Oh, I just kept doing it and kept, regretting buying so many.
No, never.
Our friend Tom Campbell buys. He, at least 1 year, he bought a bunch. He must have bought about 100 of them, and he was was giving them away and everything else.
Yeah, so I
what
did
kind?
Give away the last 10.
what type? Daffodils or?
No, I did snowdrop, crocus, and dwarf iris.
Oh, okay.
And I did snowdrops because they bloom early, even here. Like in February, they'll start coming up.
So,
and
so what
are our honeybees?
What has done best?
What has done best?
Yeah,
and of the
bulbs, yes.
Well, you know, I have some daffodils here. They are pretty good. Those are the daffodils is the only bulbs I've planted here so far. So I'm hopeful. Oh, I did plant snowdrops. 1 year too, but they got caught in the landslide.
So how many of us can say that?
So I planted them in a different spot now.
I planted some daffodils, snowdrops, and they got caught in a landslide. There are not many people who could say that.
I know.
Wow. God love you. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF.